belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum and welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us till the end of this episode. This is today's special and we're going to speak about bad language in Islam. Today, Tuesday, 1st of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Mehr, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 17th of October, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose verses 42 to 43 of chapter Ash-Shura.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innamas sabilu 'alal ladhina yadhlimuna الناس ويبغون في الأرض بغير الحق أولئك لهم عذاب أليم.
The cause is only against the ones who wrong the people and tyrannize upon the earth without right. Those will have a painful punishment.
وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ.
And whoever is patient and forgives, indeed, that is of the matters requiring determination.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Verse 43 is saying that one who is patient and forgives believers possesses determination and excellences. The blessed verse may allude to the fact that those who have been wronged by others and fail to attain to their rights have been patient. Such people possess determination since it requires a strong and confident soul to confront hardships and persevere in making efforts to achieve one's goal. Should we arg prophets so strong and perseverance that they could bear the wrongs done to them by people? But they never make attempts at taking their revenge. So for this week, we choose bad language according to Islamic point of view. And we want to know more about it. There are some homes where the use of the bad words is a common practice. The parents taunt the children and use unethical language with them. How can such parents accept that their child will grow into a gentle and responsible adult? They should realize that the child might prove even worse than themselves. They should remember that sooner or later they will find the child trading the same idiom that he has been hearing again and again from his parents. You are your child's first role model.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the worldly and hereafter consequences of profanity and bad language from the viewpoint of Islam and the Holy Prophet and his successors. Let's have a look at the hereafter consequences of profanity and bad language. The first thing that we need to consider is accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, what is the Islamic belief in accountability? In Islam, believers are taught that they will be held accountable for their words and actions on the Day of Judgment. The family of Prophet, including Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam Hussein, stressed the importance of accountability before God. Engaging in profanity and bad language may lead to consequences in the afterlife. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us here. What is the warning of the Holy Prophet? Prophet Muhammad warned about the consequences of offensive language, saying, "A person might speak a word without thinking about its implications, but because of it, he will plunge into the hellfire further than the distance between the east and the west." What is it going to do with the spiritual growth and purity? Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam emphasized the purification of the soul and the importance of maintaining a clean heart. Profanity and bad language are seen as pollutants of the soul, hindering spiritual growth and distancing individuals from a closer connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Let that sink in for a moment. We say it all the time, that kids learn more from our actions than our words. And this is one of those situations in which they learn a lot from both how we act when we are excited, frustrated, angry, hurt, you name it, and the words we use to punctuate those moments. And let's be honest, sometimes a swear word just fits the bill for those big emotions we're feeling. In fact, the studies show that swearing can actually produce a therapeutic or cathartic effect. And while it can be temporarily satisfying for us, we all know it doesn't set the best example for our kids. So in an effort to be the best role model for our kids, we must be careful to present our best self to our kids. And of course, that means curtailing our cursing.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness, everything which makes no sense, know that you exist. You are the light, guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
Ways to control our tongue. One of them is reinforce. What do you mean by that? A means of keeping ourselves on track is the old jar trick used by parents in past generations. The idea is essentially to keep a jar in the house in which you are required to drop a certain amount of money per failure to control your tongue. For example, every time you swear or gossip, the amount of money should be significant enough to make you feel bad and regret your speech. It costs more in the hereafter, of course. At the end, you can donate the money to charity, but the real purpose is to give you a physical representation of how serious it is and how much you need to improve. It helps to ask someone to hold you to your promise and remind you if you slip up.
The second category of verses that invoke the curse and the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon those who were introduced to the religion of Islam. They saw the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they willfully and deliberately rejected, stubbornly rejecting the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you have in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 83. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to those people of the book. Those people of the book, they were waiting for the coming of the final messenger. You know, in Medina, around Medina, you had a large community of Jews and Christians, but particularly Jews. Have you ever wondered why the Jews were around Medina? What brought them to the Arabian Peninsula? The Jews, their chosen land is Palestine. What is it that attracted them to the deserts of Medina and the Arabian Peninsula? History tells us that in their books, they had read that the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would appear from the city of Medina, from the city of Yathrib. So they moved to the city of Medina and around the city of Medina waiting for the last messenger of God. They knew very well God would send his final messenger from the city. But then when they realized that the prophet is from the lineage of Ismail, not from the lineage of Ishaq or the Jews, they rejected him. The Holy Quran says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا. When what they knew, what they recognized came to them, what did they do? كَفَرُوا بِهِ. They disbelieved in it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Then the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the disbelievers.
So today we had a beneficial and wonderful program. We learn many things about controlling our tongue. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us, and fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is a short and sweet saying worth pondering upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Reasonless laughter is a sign of ignorance. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we will be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about the veneration of rulers. It's necessary to clarify here what we mean by this subject, by this topic, because as you know, we venerate our leaders, we venerate our the prophets, especially the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We venerate our a'imma alayhi salam, and we venerate also the ulama, the pious ulama, who are their representatives in their absence. So somebody might be confused here and say, well, what exactly are you talking about? Why would this be reprehensible? No, the actual thing that we are referencing here is venerating a ruler, a tyrant ruler, and being submissive to him, out of greed. As the Prophet said, he who praises a tyrant ruler and is humble and subordinate to him out of greed in him will be his partner in the hellfire. So this is the kind of veneration that we are speaking about here in this program, and which is reprehensible. Let's look at a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is actually an event that occurred in his life. Very likely it happened when he was, he had attained the caliphate after Uthman. Imam Ali alayhi salam was proceeding towards Syria when the peasants of Al-Anbar, upon seeing him, dismounted from their mounts and started running towards him. He inquired, "What is this you are doing?" To which they replied, "This is the way that we respect our leaders." So he said, "By Allah, this does not benefit your leaders in any way, whilst you are belaboring yourself in this world and earning misery for yourselves in the hereafter. How wasteful is the labor in whose wake lies chastisement, and how profitable the composure which brings safety from hell." Now, one might say that, well, these people were venerating the Imam himself, so why would he dissuade them from doing so? In fact, we have another hadith. It's also of the same, same theme. It's been narrated in Bihar al-Anwar that Abu Dhar says the following. He said, "I saw Salman and Bilal approaching the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Salman threw himself at the Prophet's feet, kissing them, so the Prophet stopped him from doing that and said to him, 'O Salman, Do not do unto me as the foreigners do with their king. I am a servant from amongst the servants of Allah, eating what a servant eats and sitting how a servant sits. Again, so they're venerating the Prophet, which we do when we go to the graves of these great personalities. We kiss the doors of their graves, the entrance of their graves. So we do this. So why would they, and this is considered recommended and highly virtuous, so why would they prevent these people from doing so? Perhaps the reason is that they were dissuading them from doing so because it might become a habit for these people, possibly later, if a tyrant ruler were to, you know, acquire power, then they might continue this tradition of doing so. People wouldn't be able to distinguish who one should venerate and who one should not exactly. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why this happened. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the veneration of rulers in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really, really welcome you all, especially our brothers here. I really welcome you all. Fawad, Haider, Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Walaikum assalam, sir. I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, Nasrullah, how are you?
Alaikum assalam, sir. Fine, sir.
Welcome. And Ali Nasir?
Alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
I really welcome you. And Hussein Ruhullah, how about you?
Alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I'm good. Alhamdulillah. So everyone is fine here. Alhamdulillah. We wish you all are fine and healthy, brothers and sisters out there listening to IRIB English Radio. Let's get started. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 91 of Surah Al-Ma'idah on page 123. Am I right, Hassan?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, brothers and sisters, hope you have your Quran with you. Please open the Quran, turn to page 123. 120?
Three.
Ayah 91 of Surah
Al-Ma'idah.
So, let's get started by listening to the recitation.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون.
That was a nice recitation. I hope you have loved it. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Good. So, Let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. Shortly, we'll have an explanation, but of course, you have to refer to the Tafasir books for more explanations, okay?
Yes.
So, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We are continuing the previous session, actually, because in the previous session, the surah, the ayah 90, was talking about some of the haram things like khamr, maisir, ansab, azlam, okay? They were rijs. And they were like the acts of shaitan. Allah Almighty commanded us to avoid them. Now in this ayah, Allah Almighty also talks about those, about what shaitan does, okay? The temptations of shaitan, okay? How shaitan tempts us, okay? How shaitan misleads us. Let's see what Allah Almighty says. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُرِيدُ is a present verb, present simple verb, and present simple verb in Arabic, also in English, in Arabic actually, it has two kinds of usages. It talks about now, and also it talks about future. Okay, so yuridu is such kind of a verb which gives the meaning of like yuridu. This present simple verb in Arabic has a continuous meaning also. Mm-hmm. For example, if you say يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, they maintain the prayer, it means they always do this. They continuously, they do this. Okay? يَأْكُلُونَ, they continuously eat. They don't eat only once. They continuously do it. Okay, يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ means the shaitan continuously does this. He wants it. Okay? He wants it. He wants it not only once. He keeps doing it. Okay? Innama, for sure, indeed, shaitan, Satan, seeks to cast, to do what? He is wishing, or he is trying to do what? An yuqi'a baynakum, and to cast between you, among you, to spread among you, okay? To, for example, establish among you what? Al-adawata wal-baghda. Adawa, the enmity. And hatred between you. Through what? How is shaitan doing it? Fil khamri wal maysir. What? Through wine and gambling. وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, and to hinder you from the remembrance of Allah. To what? To stop you. Okay, to stop you from remembrance of
Allah.
Allah Almighty. وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ, and also from prayer. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ, will you then relinquish? It actually says that you should relinquish. You should understand. You should be like noticed of this. Got it?
Yes.
So very beautiful Allah says this. In the previous ayah, we talked about khamr, yes?
Yes.
Khamr, what does khamr mean?
Wine.
Khamr means wine. Yes. But why is it called khamr?
Because it covers our...
It covers our...
Brain or wisdom.
Wisdom. It does not let us think wisely or act wisely.
Yes.
That's why. Okay? Of course, in today's world, okay, when you see most of the car accidents in Europe, in America,
yes.
In European countries,
yes.
Abroad, okay, you see that they are because of wine. They are drunk. Yes? They're drunk. And you see a lot of people in the streets, okay? They're holding like, what do you call them? Bat. Huh? They're holding bat and they're hitting people. They're breaking the windows of the cars. Why? When the police arrest them, they say, oh, this is drunk. This really is harmful. These are the consequences of gambling, drinking wine. Because they completely lose their mind, okay? It is shaitan. Shaitan, yuridu shaitan ayyuqa. To do what? Establish, to spread, to cast between you, among you. What? Enmity. And hatred. So guys, if Allah Almighty commands us to stop doing something or not to avoid things, it's because of a reason. Okay?
Yes.
So I hope you learn more, inshallah, in the Tafasir books. That's all from me. A short explanation. Remember that you really need to refer to the Tafasir books for more.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
So guys, it's time to mention some tajweed rules, inshallah, for the beauty of recitation, inshallah, to have a beautiful, actually, recitation, inshallah, and that's all, okay? Let's recite a salawat first. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. Okay, innama, the first rule Fawad says, huh? Fawad. In the word innama, do we have any special rule to focus? Ali Nasir?
You have nun mushaddad.
Ah, nun mushaddad. When you have nun mushaddad, mim mushaddad, you have to extend the sound. And also produce a
nasal
sound. Innama. Hussein, read it.
Innama.
Ahsan, so. إنما يريد الشيطان شيطان طا has a heavy sound. Read it, Hussein. حسن شيطان
شيطان
أحسنت ما شاء الله أن يوقع. How do you read it, Ali Nasir?
أن يوقع
أن يوقع. Why?
Because we merged.
Ah, we merged the sound of noon into ya. The rule idgham says merging, inserting. Okay?
Yes.
Inserting. Ayyuqi'a. An yuqi'a. But you read it. Ayyuqi'a. And also extend the sound for two beats. Nasal sound also. Innama yuridu shaytanu ayyuqi'a baynakum al-adawata. بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ بَيْ has an A sound. مَدِّ
لِين
وَالْبَغْضَاءَ بَغْضَاءَ ضَد pronounce it correctly and also make extend the mad because it is
واجب
you have to extend the mad. إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله عن
إخفاء
hide the sound of noon. Good job. وعن الصلاة. If you stop here, Hassan, can I stop here? Make a pause here. عن الصلاة. Can I make a pause?
No, you can't. Yeah, it's Silla tells you to. It's better to continue, but still you can stop.
Ah, good job. So Silla tells us it's better to continue, but you still can make a pause here. Okay, good job. So. If I continue, it's better, yes? So yes. I have to read this way. وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ أَنْتُمْ
Yes.
Hide the sound.
Yeah.
مُنْتَهُونَ The same. Hide the sound. Okay. Adi Nasir, what if I don't make a pause? What if I make a pause at... Salati. Wa'ani salati. If I make a pause, how do I read it? Does it stay the same?
No.
How do I read it?
The ha.
The ta. Ta, you see? You mean?
Yeah, that is ta.
Okay.
The ta maruta. Will change to ha.
Changes to?
The fatha will change to sukun.
The fatha will change to sukun. And ta maruta changes to?
Ha.
Wa'ani salati. All right, good. So listen and repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, listen and repeat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر
إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء
الميسر. Yeah, I can stop here, okay? I can continue from ويصدكم.
Yes.
ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون؟
ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum Ashra. That's it, brothers and sisters. Hope you have learned something from this session. See you. Stay with IRB English Radio. We'll be here, inshallah, in the next coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing the different effects of supplication. We mentioned a couple of effects for supplication. Now, the fourth advantage of supplication is what we are going to discuss in this very episode. The fourth advantage of supplication is believing in ourselves, is what we call self-belief and self-recognition. Under the protection of supplication, man can get rid of being distant from God. He can resort to a power which dominates everything. And by knowing the fact that the one whom is being called out, the one whom the supplicant is calling out to, that one is the absolute cause, الَّذِي لَهُمُ الْكُسَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the one whose is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is a witness of all things. By knowing this fact, and this, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth is Allah's, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا, and Allah encompasses all things, one can truly have self-recognition and self-believing. That is why, in some of the supplications, we will come across such, سُبْحَانَكَ يُسَبِّحُ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ لَكْ, O God, glory be to you. All the creatures glorify you. All the creatures live by you. وَقَامَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ بِكْ وَأَشْفَقَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ مِنْكْ, all the creatures fear you. وَضَرَعَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ إِلَيْكْ, all the creatures beg you earnestly. In another supplication we read, سُبْحَانَكَ خَلَقْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْكَ مَعَادُ, O God, glory be to you. You have created everything, and everything returns to you. وَبَدَأْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْكَ مُنْتَهَاهُ, you have initiated everything, and everything will end to you. وَأَنْشَأْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْكَ مَصِيرُ, you have established everything, and the fate of everything will be to you.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad, wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, as we said, not remembering the one who is the initiator of everything means forgetting everything, including forgetting ourselves. In such a state of mind, man has not recognized the real value of things. He has seen everything in a diverted form. He has lived confusedly. The Holy Quran deals with the significant matter of forgetting God, which is not dealt with by any school of thinking. There are numerous interpretations in the Holy Quran about the concept of forgetting God. In the Surah of Hashr, we read, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And be not like those who forsook God, so He made them forsake their own souls. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Such are the transgressors. From all these verses, these two issues come to mind. Firstly, forgetting God entails self-forgetting. And secondly, one who forgets God will be forgotten by the Almighty God as well. With a little tension, the relation between these two groups of verses will become clear. Allama Tabatabai, concerning the verse, "The day when the spirit and the angels stand in ranks," discusses the issue of soul and refers to the sacred verse in which the topic of soul is brought out. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ, and they ask you about the soul. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, say, the soul is one of the commands of my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, you have been given aught but a little of the knowledge. Then he explains the word command, مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, he explains this word, and refers to the verse, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. His command, when he intends anything, is only to say to it, be, so it is. So, God's command refers to the initiation of a power by anything which he wishes to take on life, and the soul belongs to this world of command. There is another verse interpreting soul in the Holy Quran, which we will, God willing, refer to in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge, exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 192nd sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about some of the dimensions of the prophetic movement, and he talks about the nations that were steadfast at the onset of the prophetic movement and how that steadfastness led them to be what they are. But here today, inshallah, I would like to clarify some misconceptions that could arise from this discussion. And that misconception is that sometimes people define these issues, these changes, in very material ways. So for example, they would say that the actual reason why communities struggle and fight and why they uprise is because of some material constriction. For instance, because of their economic situation was not good, and materially they were poor and weak, and that is why they decided to uprise. Inshallah, I shall discuss about this this misconception in the after the break, inshallah.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We were discussing about the misconception that sometimes comes about, and that is that movements that occur in the society are due to some material constriction that people face. And as you notice, many scholars of the, for example, dialectic materialism, and some other, for example, schools of thought, they say that normally these uprisings and these movements are because of some material constriction, because of wealth or because of the lower class being crushed by the upper class. This is how normally they interpret these issues. And then here, when Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَأَضْيَقَ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا حَالًا, weren't these people in the most constricted situation in terms of their state? وَأَجْهَدَ الْعِبَادِ بَلَاءً, weren't the worst of tribulations, you know, incurred upon them? And things like that. So people try to interpret these things and say that, look, even the Nahjul Balagha says clearly that these people were in constriction materially, and that is why they uprised. So it is not because of the teachings of the Prophet, but it is because of the fact that this constriction materially led them to do that. Everyone wants to feed their stomachs, they want to eat, they want to live a comfortable life, and therefore this constriction was a driving force behind that. This is a very fraudulent idea, unfortunately, that these people have brought about, and we have discussed in some of the sessions to negate that. But apart from it being fraudulent, it's also a you know, kind of imposing a lie on the statements of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because here, when Imam Ali alayhi salam is talking about the constrictions and the tribulations, he's not talking about the material dimension of these tribulations. He's talking about the fact that these people, because of being under the yoke of this oppressive countries or these oppressive leaders, they were not able to have that freedom to be able to express their iman in the most perfect way. They were forced to be submissive to an oppressive ruler. And that was the thing that was hurting them. Their nobility was being crushed. That was the